Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast, special edition with my co-host, Mike Hilton. We're back in studio for episode two. Time joined by our first guest. So that should tell you how excited we are to have you on. Yep. You are first at the top of our list. We have Bengals cornerback Cam Taylor-Britt in the studio. Yeah, and we are excited to learn more about you, Cam, and just kind of get to know more about you, how last year went, your relationship with Mike. But first, before we get into your story, Mike and I teased the schedule release last time we were in studio. And I said we'd check back and see how you did when you guessed which primetime game. Yeah. So how many did you get right?
I said Pittsburgh. And that was actually, I believe, the Buffalo. Pittsburgh and Buffalo is the only two I got correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was bad.
What do you guys think of your schedule so far?
I think it's smooth.
I don't know if you've seen my comment on our post, on Bengals post.
Mm-mm.
It was like the emoji like this.
The sleeping emoji?
that's just how I have to come this year, man.
Yeah. I was a little bit shocked and almost underwhelmed.
I wouldn't think so. I feel like they... Especially with some of the moves that's been made around different franchises, like obviously A-Rod going to New York, a lot of people want to see that. We don't care about no primetime games, as long as some wins in the
record
books.
All you guys care about. Well, that's kind of the second step of the offseason, right? You're the draft and then the schedule release, some good home primetime games, and then I think the Thursday night game in Baltimore will be fun for you guys.
Really fun. I'm excited.
I'm excited that there's not many cold weather games so far. I mean, hopefully you guys make it far into January and you're hosting some playoff games. And that's what I thought. That's what I kind of hit home when I was talking about how things have changed for you guys, because it's no longer when people predict how many wins and losses. And I know you guys don't do that, but you know, they predict your record and it's no longer for you guys about just making it to the playoffs. Now, you guys want to be the number one seed and host throughout the playoffs, which means every game is really important.
Yeah, it is.
So that's, I think, what's really changed with you guys over the last couple of years is it, you know, when you first got here, it was, can the Bengals even make the playoffs? Yep. And then now it's become two years later. You guys are going to be neck and neck, hopefully, with Kansas City in hosting the playoffs and having it run through Cincinnati.
I feel like that's been the goal for the last couple of years.
That's what needs to happen.
You know, obviously we come a long way over these last two years, and you know, we still got some ways to go. But we're a confident group. We're confident in each other, and we feel like, you know, we got the right guys to make it happen.
So Cam, let's get into your story. How did you tell us where you're from?
Montgomery, Alabama, born and raised.
Where'd you go to high school?
So I kind of bounced around, but I ended up moving to Prattville, Alabama, like 30 minutes up the road from Montgomery, trying to get away, change the scenery, and I was there for 3 years. So I went to Prattville High School, where I was a quarterback.
He got an arm, by the way.
Oh, so maybe we're going to see like a special package this year.
Come on, Zach.
Have you had that conversation with Zach yet?
I haven't, but it's, you know, I had to, you know. It's in the works.
He can throw about 60 yards, too.
Really? You've seen him throw?
Yeah, that's no brag.
Okay.
Probably more?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm calling more.
So how did you switch to corner from quarterback?
I always wanted to play defense, but I'm a team player. And I feel like if I can do something and it's for the betterment of the team, we're going to win. Then I'm going to do it. That's kind of what happened.
You felt that transition was a little difficult at first, or it was just kind of a natural switch for you?
I'm an athlete, but most definitely that was a transition, dog. Yeah. I had to learn how to backpedal again. Well, after I was just dropping back, it's somewhat sort of the same movement in a way, but, bro, I really had to relearn everything. So as soon as that season was over, high school season, I basically just started working, hitting camps, trying to get eyes on me at defensive back, because I didn't have any film at corner.
Yeah.
So Saban was like, I can't offer you a corner because you haven't been at the camp, or we don't have any film. We know you're an athlete. We'll offer you a receiver, but nah.
So did you say Alabama would have offered you as a wide receiver?
Yeah, but I didn't want to play receiver though. I wanted to play defense.
and that's wild because not too many people really just want to play defense. Everybody want to score touchdowns or, you know, beat guys on the offense. But
you can score touchdowns on defense too, baby. Come on, man.
It means a little more something. Come on, man.
I was a guy that wanted to play receiver and DB, though. I wanted to play both sides of the ball, you know, just try to make something happen all the time. But quarterback wasn't it. I had two knee surgeries at quarterback, so I was like, yeah, it's not for me.
Right. So then how did you end up at Nebraska? Tell us about your recruiting process.
Recruiting process was slow. Like I said, I had two knee surgeries. So sophomore year, I played 3 games during the season, came back. I played in the spring game, you know, during that springtime. And the season came again. Tore it again on the 3rd game of the season. Only played 3 games. So 6 games in 2 years.
Wow.
But my sophomore year, the 1st game of the season, got an offer from Michigan. So I had a little stepping stool. But after that, it was very slow. Very slow. I wanted to quit football, I'm going to say.
Really? What would you have done if you didn't play football? You don't even want to think about it.
Honestly, because I really just needed my mom there and my family, like, to be that support right then and there, because I think I would have given it up. I was just telling myself it's over. I had two knee surgeries.
That's tough. Sure.
I know old people have had a lot of surgeries before. I was 15 years old, 16, you know, with two knee surgeries. So mom was like, you'll be okay. You'll be all right. Nobody's going to forget about you. And then the next year I came back crazy. You could say I had a couple of chips on my shoulder, like, and it just kind of pushed me, you know, to be who I am, honestly.
So do you have any fear when you're playing? We'll go back to how you got to Nebraska, but because of what happened with your knees?
No.
It's not like in the back of your head?
I don't think of that. I don't think I have a fear of anything on that field.
I feel like that's the mentality you have to play your position, right?
Yeah, you got to be like the most confident, and you're going to get exposed. It's going to happen.
At the end of the day, they're in the NFL just like you are.
Boom.
And
they get paid just like that.
They might get the best of you, most definitely, but I always try to be on my A game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that. You have to always be, but you may get caught.
So was Nebraska one of the few schools that offered you to play corner? Is that how you ended up there?
Nah, so it was weird. I transferred to Park Crossing, and I was playing quarterback. But Frost had offered me, like, in December. So the end of the season, like, you know, signing days is February. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm like, Nebraska, like, I never thought about going to Nebraska. So the day that he came and did an in-home visit, it snowed in Alabama. Huh? It never snowed in Alabama.
That was a sign.
Like Scott Frost comes down.
I see what he did there.
You see what I'm saying? So it's throwing me off. And so he gets here. He's like, yeah, we just drove through a blizzard. So I go outside and it's really snowing. Like, I'm talking about
full blown snow.
Yeah, like, me and my brothers put the helmet on the shoulder pad, go outside real quick. Like, we got to play in this. Like, but before they get there, yeah, they're driving through a blizzard. But they sit in the living room. They're basically asking me, what position do I want to play? Scott Frost wanted me to play quarterback, and Eric Shenander and Coach Fisher, my DB coach, wanted me to play defense. And they were arguing, like, full-blown arguing my living room. And my mom's sitting there. She's just watching, like, trying to see how this is going to go. And Frost stops everyone. He's just like, Cam, what you want to play? And I told him, I was like, I'm tired of taking hits. I want to do the hitting. I'm playing defense. He was like, that's the best answer I could ever heard, and that's how I go.
So you decided to go to Nebraska after that meeting?
Yeah. I took my official. I was still looking at schools just to say I was looking to take the official visit just to take it. You know,
free, I'll take
it,
for sure.
But, yeah, honestly, that's what it was. And I think just a cherry on top was taking the visit, actually. It was cool meeting the coaches, you know, the in-home visit and getting all the love from the fans. But it was actually real when you got there, so. Yeah, they got me.
Who did it come down to? Who was your final schools, including Nebraska?
I was committed to Missouri at first. So Mizzou, Mississippi State, and Nebraska.
Okay.
Auburn offered me on signing day.
On signing day.
And expected me to. Yeah, it was wild. It was a wild thing.
And you ain't heard from them at all during the process?
No. So I did hear from them, but it was a thing in. We got this guy right here we're going to offer, but if this doesn't work, then boom.
You was in the back seat. You're crazy. Yeah, okay, I can respect that.
Now, and then after my freshman year, the DC called my mom and was like, I'm pissed. I'm pissed. So, and I told him, man, like, you know, things happen for a reason. Yeah. I wouldn't be here if I didn't go to Nebraska.
How far is Auburn from Montgomery, Alabama, where you're from?
40 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Right down the street.
Yeah, no wonder your mom was mad.
Yeah, Tuscaloosa was, it's like an hour and 20, 25, something like that.
Everything right there.
Yeah, I'm in the middle in Montgomery.
Wow.
So I needed to get away, and I wanted to get away to, you know, just kind of get on my own and actually learn to live, you know. But that was one thing I did. I got away from home 14 hours away, so I never got a chance to just go to the crib and, yeah, you know, the brakes and
five,
stuff.
I was 5 hours away. No, I thought that was bad. You 14?
And the RT that I bought myself. Ooh. That was my first car I bought in college. I was excited, man. Yeah.
What car was it?
A Charger RT. And I bought it with my own money. I was like, I'm going to get some. I got to get some that I want. I put it on the road, right? 14 hours 14. Back and forth. Ooh. By myself, me and my dog, Cinco.
You know that's T. Higgins' dog's name, too?
Well, Cinco, my puppy, passed away, unfortunately. Aww. That was last year. I got a new dog, Zeus. He's a
Zeus.
Boy, you going to say
Pitbull?
No, North American Mastiff.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. When I did my hometown interview with T. Higgins, mm-hmm. he brought Cinco along. Now it makes sense because he's moving back to five. Yeah. But
I was 5 in college, so I get it.
So I kind of got it.
Yeah, I get it, though. And then I had Ace because I was 1 in high school.
Oh, that's yeah.
Did you like Nebraska?
I love Nebraska.
I've never been to Nebraska.
What's in Nebraska? Yeah. Like,
there's nothing to do.
So it was just strictly football. Let's go. That's it.
I love it. Like, stay low key. The fact the people there are so down to earth.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Like, you know how people go online and they get to typing all the crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Don't see that about Nebraska fans. Even though y'all just beat the brakes off us, these people gonna be like, great job. You did a good, great game. We're rooting for you. And that's how it is,
that's how
though.
It's supposed to be.
And no matter what the record was, the score was, how many, who we were playing, we still had a packed out stadium. Mm. It didn't matter. The weather, anything, bro, it was always packed. But it's just, even just walking around.
Who
ranking,
are
crazy.
The most famous Nebraska players in the NFL?
Dominican Sue.
Ooh.
Yeah. We had Prince Amukamara. He played corner.
Yeah.
Amir Abdullah.
Amir, running back.
Stanley Morgan.
Shout out Stan.
You know, you got Rex Burkhead. Young guys just got in there. Trey Palmer, receiver. He just got, you know, drafted to the Bucks. Congrats.
Isn't Gabrielle Union, Dwayne Wade's wife, like a big time alumna?
She graduated.
Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Okay.
Yeah, she showed her face here and there. Warren Buffett, we're going to, you know, okay. throw him in there.
I got some alumni out there.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a lot.
Shout out Zach Taylor. We didn't think about you, too.
Don't worry. He was last. And you know Zach Taylor, baby. Go Big Red. You know that.
Yeah. So you played 3 seasons in Nebraska or 4?
4.
Did all 4?
Yep.
Did you try and come out after your junior year?
I could have come out my junior year. Just, I don't know. I play. I feel like I start something, I have to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to go and finish, so we went back. And then I saw the accolades from the end of the season stuff, and I didn't like it. And that kind of, pushed me to just go and do my senior year as well. There's some guys that I just felt like, yeah, we're going to keep them.
When you, after you were done your season and you were starting with the pre-draft process, did you go to the combine?
I did.
Did you think you were going to get drafted by the Bengals? And then, Mike, I want to ask you what your first impression of him was when you first met him.
Yes, I did think I was going to get picked by the Bengals.
How come?
Me and Burks sat right down there at ENO. And that was my best visit, my best top 30 visit. I think some people went on as many as I did. But, bro, I was flying every day. Yeah. I was so tired. I went on to have the NFL team, probably 20 teams.
Ooh,
and I was flying.
You took 20 visits.
Brother, I was so tired. You got to fly from all the way in Massachusetts, where the Patriots, all the way down to Jacksonville, Florida, just to fly all the way over here.
Back to the New York Jets.
Boy,
across country to Vegas.
I was tired. But yeah, I did. My agent, you know, during the draft, he had the paper out of teams, and number one on the paper was the Bengals.
That's interesting. I feel like.
Very.
It's not that often that players know who they're going to. Were you told that you had a second round grade, or did you think you were going to get drafted in the first round?
Honestly, I didn't listen to any of those people. I was just waiting to get my name called. I'm not going to say I didn't care when I got drafted, but I didn't. I just needed the opportunity. And yeah, that's how I feel about it.
So when did you first meet Cam?
I first met him. I remember he got drafted. Zach Taylor sent me his number and everything. I shot him a text just to welcome him to the team and everything. And our first meet face to face was pretty much around this time. After he got done with rookie minicamp, vets came in. We all in meeting rooms just introducing ourselves and me and Cam just kind of meshed from day one. You know?
I can totally see that now that I know both of you. Like, both have like big time personalities.
I tell them all the time, you know, my mom and them are from Montgomery, so I got some Montgomery blood in me. And we kind of got some ties, but you know, our energies just mesh together. You know, that's my young boy, man.
Yes, sir.
Try to look out for him.
So how much does his story of him being an undrafted free agent to now on his second NFL contract motivate you?
I was just going to say that word right there. It's motivation. And it just pushes me kind of every day, because there's no way in hell I'd say that this man here has been doing this long. He was undrafted and didn't have the opportunity that I have. And I basically shit the bed. I can't let that happen. I see him working and it just makes me work harder every day. I try to get in there when he's working out, so I go, you know, all right, go. We live kind of the same. We you know, try to get through it. And yeah, but he's been a great mentor for me as well.
And that's the thing. I've seen Cam just over this year. He's grown so much from, obviously, him being on IR for a while. You know, he kind of had some time to think and kind of just, you know, reevaluate himself as a person, as a player, and just see how far he came throughout the season, getting all that playing time, all that experience. And you know, like I said, to now he's kind of already starting to take over a little leadership role in our room, you know. And he's a guy that young guys are following, and you know, Cam's that dude.
Yeah, I'll be honest.
Is that weird for you that now all of a sudden you're one of the oldest players on this team and you're not even 30 years old?
It is weird. I say it all the time, but I told him it's going to come by quick. It's going to go by fast, so enjoy every moment. And you can tell when he's on the field, you know, y'all think I got energy. This one has some energy, so yeah, I can just see in the way he's out there every day how much he loves the game.
So when you get drafted in the second round, you're expected to become a starter. But for you, there was kind of a crowded room in front of you with Cheeto and Eli and Mike, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then it was the Falcons game where Lou put you in for Eli.
I was finally off IR.
Yep.
So tell me about your mindset for the first time you went in the game. And then did you think, I'm not giving this spot up again, like it's mine now? Or tell me about that experience the first time you went in and took over as the starting corner.
That's about what it was. I just told my mom, like, kind of before the game, once I touch this field, I'm not getting off the field. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like that, because I waited so long, and I got to watch and observe from the sideline and actually be in the midst while those guys were, you know, going through what they were going through the games and stuff like that. So when I did get my opportunity, when I got out there, I just wanted to play free. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to panic or anything. I just wanted to fly around. As these boys know, like, I was just trying to hit anything. When I say anything had, like, coming my way, and they had to get it. And as time went on, you see, I grew throughout the season, just try to, you know, work on little things. But yeah, that game there, I just wanted to have a clean mindset. And, you know, once I got the calls, you know, just try to be crisp with everything.
You got hurt in training camp, right?
Literally,
it's all meshed. There's a lot going on. I remember when you got hurt.
Preseason, like,
what was the injury again?
Before preseason, the first preseason game, it was a rectus abdominal injury.
Oh, right. I remember it was something weird.
The weirdest injury I've never heard of. And yeah, that's what happened, just running
for 6 weeks.
Do you view that as a burden or a blessing? Was that hard for you to deal with, or did you think maybe being able to go through something like that so early on in your career and getting a chance to observe, do you feel like it either helped you or hurt you?
I feel like everything happens for a reason. So I'm going to say it helped me. It gave me the opportunity to, like I said, sit and observe these guys and how they move and how they operate. And then also just, you know, learn my playbook. That gave me extra time to do that. Mm-hmm. I was in there with Burke, so I didn't have to go out there and actually, you know, do it. So I was a lot of mental reps that I had to get in, and just questioning these guys all the time. Like, I know they got tired of me asking questions. I still do to this day. But if I don't know something, I'm going to ask, you know, and it's going to continue to stay like that, you know.
that's what I was going to say, and I wanted to ask you. You seem very coachable, and listening to some of Lou's press conferences, he's not afraid to say the things that he said to you. I think it just was like the Cleveland. What was the Cleveland game? You did something, and he told us. You know, someone, a reporter, asked him about that, and they said, you know, like, what'd you say? And he literally goes, "Don't ever do that again." And you could tell he felt comfortable coaching you and being honest and upfront with you, and not have to worry about you being too sensitive. Mm. Is Cam very coachable, considering he said he looks up to you and asks you a lot of questions?
Absolutely. That's the thing, especially with guys first coming in, you know, they think they kind of know it all, but we try to tell them, like, you might know a little, but you still got a lot to learn. This is a whole different league. This is a whole different level. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And from day one, Cam was just always asking questions, just in the middle of games. If he sees something from the sideline that we might miss on the field, he'll come to us like, hey, you know, if he doing this on his release, expect him to do this. So it's just like seeing his growth over, like I said, over this year, I'm proud of him. And, you know, he's only going to get better from here.
What was your welcome to the NFL moment? Literally, did it happen in practice or in a game?
I got two of them. You want to say practice and the game?
Okay. Like, it was both. Tell us both.
About 2 6 4 5 receivers. T. Higgins, that was my dog. But he get a jump ball, and I went up for it. He got a snatch. I was like, yeah, we in the league.
Okay. When was okay, that?
Literally like OTAs, like beginning of the practice or whatever. And then when we played the Panthers. Terrence Marshall in the end zone.
Yeah.
It's so crazy to me. This one I knew, like, we were in the NFL because I turned and do that all the time. Like, all the time. And I was like, bro, this man just snatched the ball over my head. I just ran over there and got ready for field goal. I didn't even look at it. I was attention. I'm just, come on. Yeah, don't even trip about it, man. It happens.
Did you not even, did Lou react or the Chuck not say anything?
Just like, good job. You played through the hands. You tried. All right, move on. Because that corner, that's how you kind of have to think about it, though. Because even if I'm still thinking about that the next drive, it might happen again. Mm-hmm. So clear that out.
And that was one of the moments we knew Cam was going to be who he was. Like, because a lot of young guys, if they get dunked on.
Emotional,
you know, they got to come to the sideline, heads down, nothing. Cam came, you know, head high, chest out. Like, all right, he made a play, but we got to go back next season and do it again. And that's kind of when we kind of knew, like, Cam was going to be who we were expecting him to be.
That's awesome. And corner, I think, is the hardest position
absolutely
to play.
Absolutely.
Because you're never in favorable position. Nope. You're going up never against the fastest players in the world.
Backwards. Running backwards.
This is for both of you, and I think I already know your answer, but who, after one season in the NFL, and it could be even your own teammates, mm-hmm, who is the hardest receiver you had to go up against? Like, who gave you the most difficult challenges?
I'm going to go with the OG, Mike Evans,
mm-hmm,
with the Bucks.
Let in that game in Tampa?
Let me tell you. For him to be that big, that experience.
And move.
And moving like the way he can move. Like, he should not be able to do that. 1,000-yard receiver for like 9 seasons.
Yep.
Underrated. People don't talk about him enough. Mm-hmm. But most definitely, that was probably one of my – because he's long, and he's pulling you through different ways. He has little techniques that he does. Like, mm-hmm. And I was a rookie, so I'm like, what is he doing with this little move right here? And he just kept hitting me with certain stuff. But as game went on, I tried to, you know, fill him out and see how he moves around. But like I say, that was probably the top one for me. Yeah.
What about you in the slot?
My hardest probably would be, like I said it last week, Jarvis Landry. Mm-hmm. An elite route runner, got great hands. Like I said, not afraid of going across the middle, and he talks a big game. I love people that talk. You know, it gets me going, and you know, he was one of the ones that made me bring my A game.
Tell me about both of you going up against the three-headed monster that you have every day in practice. And I don't want to hear the coach speak about how good they are. Like, tell me some untold stories about going up against those three in practice.
They work on our nerves, honestly.
I was just saying, man, it's a lot to work with. You know, but just going against those guys, honestly, it's the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
How can you not get better? How can you not want to work on your craft or even just compete and then go against that? And Because you're not going to face anything better during the season.
Yep.
So you might as well get it in right here. That's how you kind of got to look at it and turn to a positive, though.
Yeah, I kind of piggyback off what he said. You know, it's just we getting this work every day. We're getting Sunday work Monday through Saturday.
Monday through Saturday.
So, and it's just like it brings the best out of us and brings the best out of them also. So it's good competition on both ends.
Is it fair to ask who's the toughest matchup of those three? Or they're all so different?
They are different. They are all
tell
different.
Me, okay, let's break down each okay. three. Tell me tell me the challenges of going up against, let's start with Jamar.
All right, I can say what he gives his chest a little on his releases. But one thing, though, he's just real quick, though. He has this sneaky speed that people don't know about. And that he kind of changes the speed in his route, though. I don't know how he does it, but it's smooth, though. but he tells me little tips and stuff how to, you know, stay on right here without him doing this and that. So I appreciate that part. But, yeah, he moves his body, like, torques it a little bit, you know, different than T and TB.
T is probably the best 50-50 ball guy in the league. Like, he's 6'4", 6'5", he can jump. he's more athletic than he's given credit for. You know, him getting out his breaks is crazy. It's like for a guy 6'4", 6'5". And like I said, he's just a guy that a 50-50 ball is really an 80-20 ball in his favor.
Yeah.
And then TB.
Go ahead and get the shit master right there.
He's the most sure-handed out of all three of them. You know, he's the one that does the dirty work, goes across the middle.
Yeah.
He might not get as much because he's considered the third receiver in our group. He doesn't get the same love that he gets, but I think even Jamar and T would admit they can't be who they are without TB inside.
Well, I mean, not to bring up a sore subject, but his absence when he left in the AFC Championship game was huge.
Absolutely. Huge.
And another thing I wanted to ask you guys about from your perspective as a DB, this year was kind of the year, a lot of questions about T. Higgins coming into the season. Is he capable of being a number one receiver? Because, you know, he had some injuries and now the game has shifted to the Jamars of the world that can do multiple different things. Yep. Like Tyree Hill, the multiplicity of a receiver is important in the way that they look at paying number one receivers now. Like you see Tyree Hill, you know, Cooper Kupp, those type of guys can do a lot of different stuff. I remember I asked Brian Callahan, is there still a need for a number one style of receiver like T. Higgins in the fact that he can't do some of the stuff that Jamar can, or he can, but they just don't ask him to. Yeah. And then when Jamar was out, that four game stint, T really showed, he can be a number one receiver.
Right.
And it's not just because Jamar gets the looks, you know, he was doing it by himself essentially.
Yeah.
What's the difference between what T can do because of his size and length than going up against Jamar? Like, do you feel like both are equally important to an offense in the NFL?
Yes.
You want to go first? Go ahead.
They both are. You know, like you said, they're both two different receivers. You need that jump ball guy. Like, you need him. Jamar can most definitely do jump balls, but that height matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, T has the arm length, the – like he said, reach
just,
over
just
and
pure, just his pure stature makes him different.
That's what I'm saying. So, but Jamar does have, like you said, that speed to get over top of receiver. I mean, you know, corners and stuff and take the top off. But yeah. T could do that too, though.
He really can.
He can too, though.
I say the only real difference is, I will say, Jamar's the better run after catch guy. Like, the first guy is usually not going to tackle Jamar. He's going to get some. He's going to get some yak. T can obviously do the same thing, but you know, like I say, it might not be on Jamar's level, but you have to respect what T done, and he showed this year he can go out there and be a number one and, you know, dominate on the football field.
Who talks the most trash?
Jamar. T don't say much.
All right. I couldn't even get it out yet, but Jamar ain't do.
Jamar, T don't say too much. Jamar going to be in your ear. Don't
like,
let him
what does he say?
What doesn't he say? He's like, I'm going to tell you, Jamar like a corner.
Yeah.
At receiver.
That's solid.
He's like, me at receiver, I'm so for real. His mouth is filthy.
Confidence is through the roof.
Yeah,
you know, he shows it. Like he knows, when he's on that field, he knows he's probably the best player on the field.
Just like that.
But what I think's interesting about him is he's not a diva.
No.
He is one of
the
most
dirty work.
nicest, charismatic players in the locker room in terms of, you know, he's never once said no to doing interviews. And, you know, sometimes
guys
are, you know, I don't have to do this, or they put up a fight about it. But he is just so nice and, you know, will answer anyone's questions, and he makes everybody laugh. And I think that's huge for you guys because, you know, he is one of your top three best players. And if he's not a diva and he's not getting special treatment, I feel like it probably must make the locker room feel more like everybody's on the same level.
Exactly. And that's what we think. Like you said, he's one of the best players really in the league. But you'll never know that. He doesn't go around bragging. He just let his play do the talking. You know, he know who he is as a player, and he knows once he gets on that field, he can dominate. But you'll never hear him go to the media and be like, you know, I'm unstoppable. Like, can't nobody stop me. Like, that's just Jamar. You know, I respect that a lot.
What do you feel like was the best play you made? And I'm going to ask you which play you thought, from your perspective, was the best play he made.
She asked you for
I was going to say the Bills pick, of course.
Oh, yeah. That's playoff pick, baby.
I know, but I also play.
I hope you kept that ball, too.
Oh, don't worry. Oh,
okay.
Mama got that ball. You know, she got the ball at the crib. But or it could be the play on DPJ, the end of the game.
The Browns fade ball.
Game. Yeah, the fade ball.
What's the deal, guys? Are you going to beat the Browns this year, week one? Browns have been an issue for the team.
You're trying to get some started. See, they, you know we got going to have some Brown fans watching this. We'll see. But I say my favorite play for him, it might not be, it's not a pass. I can't remember who he playing, but I think a guard pulled.
It was the Browns.
And when I mean Cam put all of him into the big guy, sat him down.
Sit the edge.
If you can find that tape, if you're at home, go try to find that one play. That's when I knew Cam was.
GP made a tackle for loss on that. Mm-hmm. If I didn't set the edge, it was over.
Chubb with the edge.
Well, that's what I think is unique about you two is you both, they don't play the same position and you're built differently. But if you had to ask me one thing that you both do similar, it's you're both pretty fearless when it comes to being physical.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Because receivers don't like physicality. They don't want to be touched. They don't want to be, that's how we get in their head. We're going to be physical.
That's how it is, though. Me and Mike, we'll talk about it in the game, like what we're about to do. I'm 100%, we're going. Like, I don't know what you're doing back there, but be over top because we're gone, all right?
Is it impressive to you to see the way he's kind of revitalized the slot position in his ability to blitz and get pressure on the quarterback? Like, I feel like, obviously, I'm speaking from a 10-year perspective. I've only been covering the NFL for 10 years, but there's not many U's in the NFL now that can play slot but can put, you know, a beating on a quarterback like he can.
I knew he blitzed. I didn't know he blitzed that much until I got on his team. Hey, he's going. And one thing you do, his times is so perfect, man. I don't know. I'll be probably about to jump outside. You know, he just times it so well, man. And he's great at his job. There isn't too many like him. The only person I kind of compare, but he's a safety. Jamal Adams, the blitzing king. Like, because, boy, he's a blitzing king, man. But he's also covered, man. It doesn't matter who you put up there. Like, I feel like he can cover anybody in this league in that slot, so lined it up.
I'll ask you first and then you second. What is your favorite part about playing for Lou Anarumo?
Wow. I ain't just how much he cares for you and how he coaches you. He coaches you and you know his love. When everything that comes out of his mouth, like you know it is real. I wouldn't say he picks on you. Most definitely, he'll get on you if you did something wrong. But most definitely, you could tell that he really cares about everything, you know, in that building and about you as a person. Forget the football player, but yeah.
Tell us about the play he was talking about. So you in the Browns game, what were you supposed to do that you didn't do? And did you just come off the field and what did he say?
It was literally just me diving for the ball, like trying to make a play. And he's like, never do that again. It was. I think we're in. It's like a quarters concept, you know. And he ran. It was supposed to be an over, and he broke it back out, and I was too high. And
it was Amari Cooper, right?
No, it was DPJ. Yeah, it was DPJ. But he broke it back out to a corner, and I was just running. I was like, oh, I got this. Man, I did not have it tip my fingertip. And I was like, oh, my God.
Right up
first game, and hey, you doing this? Then he jumps over Jesse.
Yep.
Like, he clears Jesse. And I'm like, I got to make this tackle. Like, you got to do something. So every time I did something, I always look to the sideline. I was looking at Lou or Coach Burks. I wait for this or something. But Lou just gave me the eyes. He was like, he wanted to jump on that field right now. All right, most definitely, I was scared then.
So you just came off the sideline and you didn't even say anything? He just came over to you?
I just went on right there, sat down right next to the guys. And he was like, don't you ever do that again. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Leave it at that. Leave it at that.
And you never did it again.
Ooh, never. Did you see me die? Nah, we playing through the hands.
What's your favorite part about? You've done two seasons with him. Yeah. What's your favorite part about playing for Lou?
I'll say football-wise, is obviously his ability to adjust. The way he can just let offices go throughout that first half and kind of figure out what they're trying to do and how they're trying to attack us. And then he comes out that second half with some of the best adjustments I've seen.
Houdini.
You know? And, you know, I played for Mike Tomlin, who's a great defensive coach. But, you know, I feel like Lou's adjustment is just a little better. And, you know, he showed that in the games we've been in, you know, down 21-3 in the AFC Championship last year. Our halftime adjustments, boom, they didn't score again until the fourth quarter. So it's just like the way he can adjust, and then also the way he cares about his players. You know, he treats everybody the same, no matter where you're on the depth chart, and he expects a lot out of you, and he's going to bring the best out of you. So that's
what we'll do. You feel like the one, like, your favorite game of his adjustments that he made at halftime?
Well, I told the AFC Championship 2 years ago, like I said, we were down 21-3 at halftime. They didn't score until the fourth quarter. And I remember he didn't have no panic. Like, it was really 0-0 in his eyes. And, yeah, and you just tell with those adjustments, he's like, guys, we're going to win this game. Just let's do this. Make plays when we have the opportunity.
He seems different than Zach Taylor in his style.
Totally different.
I don't think I've ever seen Zach yell at someone, but honestly, two of my favorite during games, because I only get to watch the first 30 minutes of practice when you're stretching, basically. My two favorite coaches to watch, Darren Simmons. It's so much fun to watch.
You have to watch.
Lou, when he gets mad or excited, like his expressions, it's just funny
and then
to
he
watch.
Got that New York accent, so it kind of, once he gets upset or something, that New York comes out of him and that Italian comes out of him, so it makes it even more better.
Yeah, Darren is the best to watch.
He's something else.
But I think it's so important to have a special team coach that cares that much, because I feel like sometimes, I mean, I don't know what your approach to special teams was when you got drafted, but special teams can win or lose games. And I know a lot of people are like, it's just special teams. But
in certain moments, it matters.
If you miss an assignment and someone takes it to the house, that's a game changing play.
And then people don't realize.
And I think Darren, he takes his job so seriously.
He does. I used to go to every, you know, special team meeting last year. And like, he really stays in detail with the yards that you get and how it affected this quarter right here, if we had this. And I was like, I've never seen like the actual charts and stuff, how it was broken down. And he really goes in detail, make sure you know like what you're looking at and what we need to do to fix it so it can be better this game, net average and this. Like, yeah, he makes sure you know everything on the field, so it has to be crisp.
You guys think Lou will become a head coach soon?
I hope not, but I also want him to have a job, but
I hope no, not I don't, too I don't. Much. I know he will though. Yeah, I'm trying. I'm here.
I think this third time is gonna be the charm. He had interviews these last 2 years, and I think somebody might come get him.
He's been cooking it up for 2 years, boy.
I feel like we should. You guys should have like t-shirts. You should surprise him one day, like with t-shirts that say like "Let Luke cook" instead of like "Let Russ cook." Let Luke cook. That's not a bad idea.
Put him with an apron on in the lab.
I don't know.
You know somebody out here in Cincinnati.
Yeah, one of our listeners. Put him on with an apron and let him cook.
Just put his head on there.
The mastermind, that would be hilarious. The mastermind.
Before, I want to ask you some off the field questions. I'll wrap up the football questions with what is next for you this season. What do you feel like is the step that you're going to take in your game that you're hopeful for comes after 1 year of experience?
Growth in every aspect. Honestly, I'm talking about mentally, physically, and as a teammate, everything. Honestly, I just want to put my best foot forward and don't look back. And won't be the same Cam as last year. So we just got to keep elevating.
Off the field, what do you like to do?
Play the game.
That's all he talks about.
I'm a calm kid, man. I go home, sit with my dog and my brother. Play 2K, get on the mic, and I'm talking to my other brothers back home. But yeah, that's about it. And I started now because I got on my assist, and I was like, I need to be doing community events. I need to get out the house. And so they're setting me up, but you know, just going to schools and talking. I love kids, so why not? I always do stuff with the Boys and Girls Club, so I just want to get out here in Cincy, you know, and do stuff now.
What if I had to ask you if you were looking for Cam? What he's doing the off season? What would be your first guess at what he's doing, or where is he?
What he's doing, I'm not sure, but I know he's been in Atlanta a couple of times.
That's home. That's home. Yeah, I bought mom a house there.
So in Atlanta?
Yeah, so that's why I go back to the A. Yeah.
He's definitely been in Atlanta a couple of times, but he's really like on the game. Like that's Cam. He's on the game.
Video games?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I'm not a gamer. Basketball 2K or football 2K? Basketball.
So they stopped making the football 2K just because I believe.
I'm about to get roasted for that. People are like, what an idiot.
I'm trying to put you on game. I think they stopped making the football 2K, and 2K actually just took over for basketball. Mm-hmm. So Madden itself is just.
Madden got his own.
Who do you play as?
Myself.
Yeah, he made
a creative player. Yeah. So how you do it?
Oh, we can get so you're not playing as like LeBron James?
Not at all. I am LeBron James. You feel me? Like, 11 points a game in the park. Yeah, we get wicked. So like, don't let me get into this. All right, yeah.
We're going to have to teach her about the park. She don't know about the park.
Guess what I'm going to do?
Go play the game.
She's smart. There we go. Okay. Yeah.
Got it. I didn't know if, because in Madden, you play as a team.
Yeah, you can. You can also create players on Madden, but most definitely, I play against them against another team.
And I tell you that, I bet you, it's real weird. A lot more football that people are in the NFL play 2K, while some of the basketball players in the NBA play Madden.
I don't know why.
It's just some type of we want to do what they do.
I think LeBron James plays Madden.
Like I'm telling you, a lot of the NBA players play Madden and stuff more than 2K just because it's their job.
What position do you think he'd be if LeBron played football? You think he'd be a tight end?
Tight end or DN?
Hang on, I'm putting him there at DN. Forget the offense side. I need him to go get that.
You talking about you want to win a jump ball.
Yeah.
Are either of you big NBA fans? Are you watching the conference?
The Lakers.
There you go.
Finals?
There you go.
Yes. LeBron James. I'm a LeBron James fan too.
GOAT. GOAT.
There it is. Yeah. I ain't got no argument.
You've mentioned your mom a lot on this podcast. Tell me about your relationship with your mom.
That's my A1 day one. I call her first time right now, but she at work. But yeah, I kind of grew up with her. She had me at 19, so I've seen her go through everything, you know, from good to the bad, and having my siblings.
How many siblings do you have?
Two. Okay. So I have a little brother and a little sister. Brother is West Alabama playing football. Sister, she's been a nurse down back home. And then, she knows everything. I can't lie to her. She look at me like, why you not? You're not telling me something. And I'm like, here go the mama talk.
Mama knows best.
Yeah, just like that. Yeah, that's how I got to put it.
So what'd you get her for Mother's Day?
I was just about to ask that.
She been getting a lot even before Mother's Day, so that's how I'm gonna put it. But I did some special. You know, I took her out to eat, took my grandparents out to eat as well. My nana and my grandmother, so it was my sister, mom, and my both my grandparents. I took them out to eat, then basically just let them shop for a little minute.
Do both of your parents and families come up for every game or just only a couple a season? Like, how does that work for you both?
Usually a couple for me. My family's all in Georgia. So, like, when we go down to Nashville, they haven't missed one in Nashville since the divisional playoff 2 years ago. Then they'll usually catch one or two up here, depending on who we play. Matter of fact, they'll never miss a Pittsburgh game, whether it's here or that's one game they always going to make is a Pittsburgh. So in total, they'll probably make about 3-4 games a year.
Your mom come up a lot?
Boy, he's talking about 3 or 4. Once I started playing everybody, every game. Honestly, man, it's a blessing, man. I can say it does help, just, you know, knowing that they're there.
That support system.
Yeah, that support system is everything to me. I told you, even when I was at my lowest of the lows, that's who I turned to. So with them just being there, and even that Falcons game, I think you see me very emotional. I looked up there and seen them in the stands. I'm like, oh, Lord, here they come. And the tears just started going because it's just it's everything that you've been working for. You know, the work doesn't stop at all, but it was surreal just being in that moment.
What was the first thing both of you did with your first NFL paycheck? What was the first thing you bought?
Oh, you trying to take me back.
I bought my mama a house.
In Atlanta?
Yeah, bought her house. Then I bought my dad a truck. Now she got a car. There's a lot to
I believe I bought myself a car. It was a Jeep, a white Jeep Wrangler. I remember it. That's exactly what it was.
Do you remember what your first purchase was when you got your second big contract?
That's what I want to hear.
That's the hard-hitting questions over here.
I want to say it was actually my wife's car. I bought her a Range Rover.
Cashed out?
Yeah. All cash paid off.
Okay.
Blessings.
Yeah. You earned that. I
appreciate it.
Your mom, she wear your jersey. If Bengals fans see her, would they recognize her?
She doesn't have to wear a jersey now. It's crazy. Like, people see her at the airport now. Oh. She's doing interviews herself out here in Cincinnati. Like,
too bad we couldn't have her on the pod today.
I'm being so honest. Like, she'll do it. Like, she has her own, like, fan base now. Like,
is she on Twitter?
Yes.
Because T. Higgins' mom is a big Twitter.
Oh my gosh,
really?
They're the bestest friends. Like, it's crazy. Like, even at Nebraska, it was started to get that way. Man, it's a blessing just to always somehow be in a fan base how I am. So, I'm not complaining at all.
The Bengals drafted some DBs this past draft. How have your first impressions of them been, or you haven't had them because they just got to town last weekend?
I mean, just based on what we saw today, you know, speed.
DJ Turner.
He's very athletic as well.
Jordan Battle, DJ Ivy, like all of them, speed, athleticism, already showing willingness to ask questions and learn. So, you know, it was a good first day, and
Are you going to keep the Breakfast Club Chick-fil-A breakfast DBs?
That's not stopping.
Vaughn and Jesse are going to continue.
That's going to happen. Like, things, just because we lost some guys, things aren't going to change. You know, I said it last week. Me and Cheeto is going to step up into that role, and we kind of already started that. So we take what we do seriously. You know, we want to lead these guys the right way, and we want to help with bringing Super Bowl back.
Give me your favorite Mike Hilton story.
Oh, Lord. What's my?
I'm going to keep PG. But has to be after, like, he hit Josh Allen. I think he, like, kind of, like, laid on him. Like it was crazy. It was snowing.
Mm-hmm.
The game that you got the sack, bro, it was crazy. Because, like, I've never seen him that turn. Like, that game, it's like he... I don't know how many Celsius you drunk or what.
I was just hype.
I don't know what it was.
Playoff football, baby.
Yes, that is playoff football. And I love Mike. I love him the most because he just lights out, man. He had a great game, but I just love to see him turn up. Like when he acts like me, because I ain't got no sense. And I love when he doesn't have no sense. So that would probably be my most memorable moment right now. And that's what I'm saying. I'm keeping it at that.
What is the best piece of advice he's given you?
Be myself. Don't change up. Always be a learner. Continue to be I don't even know where to put that. I wanted to say the word, but I want to describe it another way. But I just say, Mike has always pushed you to be the greatest you can be, just like that. And we're going to keep it there.
I think between the two of you, does anybody ever have a bad day?
If we do, you'll never tell.
Yeah, you will never know.
That's one thing. We keep a smile on our face. And, you know, like I said earlier, that's why I think me and Cam just kind of meshed from the day we got here. Like, we just got that little brother, big brother. But
and it's just like that. It's been like that since day one. I can't explain it, but it's just a connection that we do have. Yeah, it's forever, though. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I do want to, I guess I'll ask it by plugging the hat that I'm wearing. But for those that are watching this on YouTube, the hat that I'm wearing, if you are in Cincinnati on Friday, this same hat, but in red, Ted Karras and I are hosting an event at the Holy Grail right in downtown Cincinnati. He's going to hop on the podcast. We're going to do a live show, and he's going to sell these hats, a special edition hat that you can only get at the event. And all the proceeds go to a great cause for Ted's nonprofit. So you guys have any good Teddy K stories?
I think we both had the same one, maybe.
Since we're on the subject of Ted Karras, let me let you go first.
For me, and it was, I think it was his mic'd up moment when the game in Tennessee. When he was talking to the fans.
That's literally what I was about to say.
When I tell you Ted flips a switch in the locker room, the most genuine, good
he's like
dude.
A teddy bear.
I know.
But like, he's like, look, Ted, I'm sorry. But like, he's like a real teddy bear. And he's real, like down to earth and everything. But when he get on that field,
totally different person.
You wouldn't think that's Ted, but that's Ted. He is turned crazy, man. But that's what you need, though, especially in the offensive line and the position that he plays. Mm-hmm. Man, he plays like with fire under him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's gonna let you know that.
He seemed like such a great addition to the team last year.
Yeah, he's came from a winning tradition, got Super Bowl, so he knew what it takes and
brought that over.
You know, him being the center, the leader of the offense, is exactly what we needed.
Yeah, I feel like that mic'd up clip plus just kind of his genuine personality, and he goes out in Cincinnati a lot and is very like active with the fans. I'm excited for our event because I feel like we're going to get a lot of people because they just want to show up to see Ted Karras and to support his hat business because it's a really great cause. And you can tell how important it is to him to give back.
Shout out to him, man.
I know you both will probably be out of town, but for those that are in Cincinnati and want to come, we think it'd be great. Orlando Brown's going to be there. He's going to make an appearance on the stage too. So
be
pretty
there,
excited
be there
about
Friday.
That.
There you go. The Holy Grail.
Well, thank you both so much for joining. Well, Cam, for joining Mike and us, but to both of you for joining me. This is a blast, and I feel like
this
now Bengals Nation will know so much more about you, and who knows, maybe it can be the three of us hosting this podcast next year.
I like that.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast.
See y'all next week.